This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Tomorrow.
A&C Masterpiece is at Globe Life Field for opening day of the Major League Baseball season. We'll talk about that with Brett Boone as well today, coming up at 9:20. But our Rangers insider, Jared Sandler, is joining us now on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, but, Jared.
No, Bobby interrupted me.
Go ahead.
I love Jared. But I also love Artolo's. And remember, we got to wish a happy birthday because promised somebody during a break. Kevin Persons, one of our top Tolos, one of our favorite Zoomies, Air Force vet. It is his 35th birthday. And we said we'd wish him happy birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Kevin. Now we can go to Jared.
Why would you let it change his last name to People?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Right?
Jared, you got an answer for that?
Maybe he's a big fan of Chuck Person.
Oh, that's fair, man.
Dude, I loved Wesley Person.
Yeah, that's fair. Good morning, man. What's up?
What's up, guys? Are you guys going to opening day?
I'm not. But I wish I was.
Bobby,
you got tickets for me?
What's that?
You got tickets for me?
I gave them to my dad and my wife.
Oh, man.
But, hey, Bobby, your TikTok video with your wife the other day was hilarious. I think you are a lot of us.
I think it was good though. I think it's because to me that's honestly the beautiful thing about baseball. And not to what's the old Billy Bean line in Moneyball? How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Something like that.
Like that's the good thing about baseball to me is that she doesn't. She genuinely really doesn't understand any of it. But she's not just there to like socialize. She does enjoy sitting there watching it, even though she doesn't totally understand it. Whereas generally, if you don't understand something completely, you're not even engaged in it or having fun. She has fun. She likes it. She sits there and just, this is a fun experience. I enjoy watching the sport, even if I don't totally understand what's happening.
So I guess the TikTok video was Bobby quizzing his wife on some of the most basic terms or parts of baseball. Which one that she did not get were you most surprised? Like the foul pole, the bullpen initially?
I was surprised she got anything. So that was the surprise.
Really?
When she said she knew the pitcher's mound, I was surprised. You got to remember, I asked her, I said, that coach by first base, what's his job title?
It's
the first base coach.
I actually like.
There were two different times I pointed to Adrian Beltre while she was wearing an Adrian Beltre jersey and she couldn't tell me who he was.
Yeah.
I was genuinely surprised. Maybe foul pole. I thought she would have known the big yellow pole is the foul pole, but I mean, that was probably it.
Jared Sandler,
no, Jordan. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I think your laundry's ready or whatever that beep was.
No, it is. Yeah, I didn't know if you guys could hear the beeping in the background, so I had to shut it off.
All right, why no Evan Carter on the roster to start?
Well, he didn't have a good camp, and sometimes that matters, sometimes that doesn't. You know, for a guy like, let's say, Corey Seager, if he doesn't have a good camp, it's not going to affect his roster status. But, you know, I obviously it's clear that the Rangers felt like Evan Carter needed to win a job. Now, I think Evan Carter was the favorite, right? I think it was his job to lose. And I don't mean to put it any other way. I don't mean to be so blunt, but I think he lost it. You know, it wasn't just the numbers, and the numbers weren't great. I just think it was the quality of the at-bat. And, you know, if I was watching spring training and I didn't know anything about any of these guys, I didn't know who was supposed to be good, who had this level of potential, who was just kind of a guy, you know, I don't know that I'd watch Evan Carter and say, yeah, you know, this guy's probably going to be on the major league roster. Now, I think there's more to it. You know, if you think about his last 3-4 years, he spent a lot of time not playing, and he's just 22 years old. I mean, that's the other thing, too. Evan Carter is younger than Wyatt Langford. Evan Carter doesn't turn 23 until the end of August. And so, and I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. Let's just say he didn't make his major league debut until 2026, which is obviously not the case. He's already been a big part of helping the team win a World Series. Well, let's just say he didn't make his major league debut until next year. He'd be a 23-year-old making his major league debut who would spend 95% of the season as a 23-year-old, right? Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't think anything of it. So he's super young. But I think the real problem or the real crux of the issue is that the last several years, he's been hurt. And, yeah, I mean, he did have that amazing two-month window in 2023, but he spent a lot of time hurt. He spent a lot of critical development years, development time, you know, on the IL. And I think the Rangers just feel like this is what's best for him long-term. This is not a team that is rebuilding. This is a team that's trying to win a division. And they feel like him getting every day at bats, trying to get confidence, trying to get right, and also had the opportunity to face lefties without the pressure of trying to deliver for a contending team in AAA is going to be really valuable for him. Now, he might be there for 3 weeks. He could be there for 2 months. He could be there for 5 days if there's an injury sometime in the first, you know, 5 games. My guess is Evan Carter will spend more time at the big league level than not this year, but he wasn't right. He didn't look good, and I think they feel like he needs a little more momentum or to show a little bit more before they run him back out there, especially because he missed so much time last year.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, if you think about it, he'll be a free agent at like 27. Like that's pretty young. Now, do you think the back is still a problem? Is that maybe what it is? Or because you don't usually just lose sight of the strike zone.
No, I don't. I mean, well, okay, I guess I'll say this. He is healthy enough to where if you were to ask Bruce Bochy about Evan Carter's health, he'd say, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you're asking. You know, he's totally fine. Now, is there some lingering issue? Is the back for a guy who's 22 and has had back issues multiple times a concern? Yeah, I would say that it is fair to be concerned about the back. There is no known issue at this time. I think this really is about his performance. And let's not forget, you know, a lot of guys have good 2 month stretches at the big league level when they come up. Now, it doesn't always happen on the stage that, you know, which Evan Carter had his 2 month stretch, which was playing meaningful regular season games in September and, of course, the postseason run. But, you know, it's easy to say, well, last year's struggles were because of the back. But what if they weren't totally because of the back, right? What if the league had made some adjustments and, yeah, the back contributed, but, you know, Evan Carter needs to grow. Evan Carter needs to adjust back. Evan Carter needs, you know, to continue that development. And not that you can't continue to develop at the major league level, but it's tougher to develop at the major league level. You know, that there's a reason why the minor leagues exist. So, RJ, I think it's a fair question. I think until he's, you know, had a few years of health consecutively, I think we're going to always wonder about the back or the health. And, you know, he might not like being asked about it. He might not like that label, but it is what it is. Like, I heard Royce Lewis the other day, one of the young stars for the Twins, who spent, you know, the last like 5 years basically hurt more than he's healthy, not like the fact that he is considered injury prone. But like, yeah, that stinks. That's not a fun label to have, but until you aren't, you are, right? And so I think with Evan Carter, until he isn't in a position where he's, you know, constantly threading the needle between, you know, healthy and playing hurt and hurt, he is going to elicit those concerns from people, especially when he's not performing well or has a stretch like he did in spring training, which was not obviously good enough to warrant an opening day roster spot.
Jared Sandler joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. You know, we've always heard so much about the mature approach from Evan Carter and how he's like the oldest 20-year-old you're ever going to find. How much do you think the Rangers weighed potentially the angle of discouragement of sending him down psychologically, I guess, and how that might affect him versus they said, look, he's going to be able to handle this. This will be good for him. We're not worried about this getting him dejected and getting him out of, you know, any sort of future optimism.
Yeah, I think, Bob, if he was 25 and if he had a more normal, a more normal development path to the big leagues, then I think they probably would have said, hey, let's see how he handles this. But he really didn't. Like if you think about it, when a guy gets hurt when they're in the minor leagues, you think of it as like their escalator to the big leagues is put on pause as well, because they're not, you know, when they're hurt, they're not developing. They're not, in theory, getting better. Well, Evan Carter had this weird combination of, a lack of time active because of injuries, but a lot of success and potential demonstrated in that short period of time. So it was almost as if that escalator never stopped going up. Even when he was hurt, it was still going up, and it was still pushing him closer and closer to that floor, that fourth or fifth floor where it's big league baseball. And so, you know, he didn't have anywhere close to, you know, what you would consider something of a normal amount of at-bats or games or however you want to measure it in upper-level minor leagues, which, you know, that's considered to be Double-A and Triple-A, and that's where, you know, you really have got to pass those tests in order to be considered ready for the big leagues. And the other thing too, Bobby, is I think, you know, yeah, they definitely weighed that. They also probably weighed that against, well, what if he starts the season in April and then we have to send him down because he really struggles. And I think that, you know, in their mind, having him start the season in AAA is better than the potential of him continuing to struggle at the big league level and then being sent down in the middle of the year. Rather him start the season in AAA, have success, hopefully, earn his way back soon, hopefully, and then you don't have to worry about sending him down, hopefully ever again, right? Hopefully this is his last stretch in the minors. But I think that I think they did weigh those things. And then, you know, there's going to be a section of people that say it doesn't matter when you send him down, whether it's on opening day, whether it's in June because he's struggling. If he can't handle it, then he's probably not fit to handle the challenges mentally of a major league career over a long haul anyway. So, you know, you have different schools of thought on this, but I do think that they considered the impact and how it could hinder him long term and felt like this was the best option.
Jared, am I crazy to think that because the injuries to New York and the losses by Houston and Baltimore and the fact that Cleveland and Seattle can't hit, that this is the best team in the AL?
I don't think you're crazy to think that. I'd say this, the American League is way different than the National League. You know, I think the National League, if the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets, the Dodgers were in the American League, they would each be considered the best team in the American League. That's not to say that they're all better. As a matter of fact, I think that maybe two of those NL East teams, I think that the Braves are really lacking depth, and I think the Phillies are just getting old. I actually think the Rangers are better than those two teams, but I think that perception would be that those two teams are better. I think perception would obviously be that the Dodgers would be the best team in the AL, and I think that the Mets with their moves would be perceived as the best team in the AL as well. I think the AL is wide open. I would tell you, RJ, the Mariners, I actually think they're going to hit a little bit better than what people believe, but I also don't know if they're going to pitch as well, in part because you just don't typically have consecutive years with like almost perfect health from your starting rotation. And they're already feeling that with George Kirby, who's going to start the season on the IL. So, I do think the Rangers, if you told me the Rangers ended up with the best record in the American League, I would not think twice about it. I think that this absolutely could be a team like that. And if Jacob deGrom stays healthy, and by the way, guys, I had a heart-pounding moment. After the first inning yesterday, the Rangers had Nolan Hoffman throwing in the bullpen. Now, it was the last spring training game, and so it was very possible that Nolan Hoffman was warming up just to get some work in. But they put it on the video board, like, warming up Nolan Hoffman. I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again, Jacob deGrom. What's going on? And then he jocked out for the second inning. I was like, oh, thank gosh, he's fine. And we're probably going to have that with Jacob deGrom. You know, when he comes mm-hmm. out of the game, I think, you know, we're going to, for the first month, just kind of, okay, is he okay? Is everything fine? Was he just taken out for this reason or that reason? Is he healthy? But I think having a healthy version of Jacob deGrom for a full year is going to be huge. And I just think, guys, I look at this lineup, and like if Jake Berger is hitting seventh or eighth, you've got a guy who could hit 30 home runs hitting seventh or eighth. And that's like a real possibility with, you know, how deep their lineup is. And I actually think their bullpen is going to be better than expected. I just think it might take a few weeks to figure out who fits best where. But I do think that there's enough depth in this bullpen. And also there's enough depth of guys who are going to start the season in AA or AAA who at some point could come up and help the Rangers in the bullpen this year, that they're going to be in a good position with their bullpen. They just don't have the superstar, like, sure thing reliever. They traded that guy away several years ago in Emmanuel Clase, but they might have that guy in their minor league system right now in Emiliano Teodo, who could come up at some point this year and take the reins on the ninth inning. Until then, I kind of think it's Luke Jackson's job to lose.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Have a great open day tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, fellas. See you guys later.
Jared Sandler.
Love you, Jared.
Joining us here, DN Losing Hotline, 105.3 The Fan. It appears you actually hate Cinderella. We'll chop it up. We got a Rangers ticket giveaway. It's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour on the Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan.